A lot of people are telling us a lot of things that we need, but what we need more than anything is Jesus today. Amen. Amen. Pastor has been speaking from down there the last 2 or 3 weeks, but if it's all right, I'm going to stay up here. I don't hear well, as you already know if you've tried to talk to me, and I can't see him down there, especially if I'm sitting behind Cody or Brother Snow, and every time they move, I got to move. So I'm going to stay up here where you can at least see me. Kelby, you will be glad to know I got a watch this week. I can't see it, but I got it. January 19th, 2020. Seems like an eternity ago, doesn't it? After 4 days of a cough and a fever, 35-year-old, otherwise healthy man went to the urgent care center in Snohomish, Washington State. When they examined him and asked him all of the questions that they asked now, they discovered that he had recently visited his family in Wuhan, China. He became the first officially diagnosed case of COVID-19 in the United States. And for the last 190 days, more than half of this year, the coronavirus pandemic has dominated the news headlines and, for the most part, our lives. It has affected nearly every area of our lives. They're telling us where we can go and where we can't go. They're telling us what we can do and what we cannot do. And it has left people deeply divided. Do we quarantine or do we not quarantine? Do we wear a mask or do we not wear a mask? If they develop a vaccine, which they are trying to do and may have, do I take that or do I not take that? Social distancing or not? Even at church, we are not supposed to shake hands or hug necks or pray together in the altars, especially like we pray together in the altars. I tell you, I'm not a hugger. I mean, I'll hug you, maybe, if I like you. But I'm not known as a hugger. Now, my wife's a hugger. She'll hug a tree. She's just a hugger. Some of you are the same way, and that's okay. That's a good thing, I guess. I'm not a hugger. But I'm telling you, this thing has gotten so out of hand, Jordan, I'm wanting to start hugging people I don't even like. And on top of all of that, we have this old and unresolved racial issue that has once again reared its ugly head. And that issue alone is driving a wedge deeper into the heart of America. Do I support the police? Or do I support Black Lives Matter? Well, for me, that's a no-brainer. 28 years ago, now I'm going to get to a text and a message here in a little bit. And you won't have to stand because I'm going to be all over the place. 28 years ago,
already. Where does time go? Los Angeles exploded into racial riots when four white police officers were acquitted for beating a black man by the name of Rodney King. The whole thing was caught on camera and broadcast around the world. It was a sad day. It was a horrible situation. But Los Angeles and a lot of other places in America erupted into 6 days of violence. There was burning and looting, and 63 people were killed, and 2,383 people were put in the hospital. On May the 1st, 1992, Rodney King stood before a television camera and made this statement. Can we all just get along? You remember it? When he died on June the 17th, 2012, at the age of 47, he drowned in his own swimming pool. Coroner says he had an excessive amount of marijuana, cocaine, and PCP and alcohol in his system. But when they took him out and buried him, they put those words on his gravestone. Look it up. Google it. Just Google Rodney King gravestone, and there you will see on his marker, can we all just get along? Well, let me tell you something else. Rodney King sued Los Angeles and was awarded $3.8 million for his injuries. Good. But there was another incident recorded at that time that was also put on the news and was broadcast worldwide. And there was of a man driving a dump truck, minding his own business, stopped at a stoplight by the name of Reginald Denny. Four black men drug him out of the truck, beat him on the street of L.A., took a concrete block and mashed his head. It left him permanently disabled. To this day, 28 years later, he cannot speak properly, and he lost his job because he can no longer walk properly. He also sued and was awarded nothing. Can we all just get along? Obviously, we cannot. Politics has never been uglier or nastier or meaner. Name-calling and insults and personally destroying your opponent is now the standard. Everybody's talking, but nobody's listening. And underneath the surface, like a volcano about to erupt, there is this anger and there's this unrest and there's this frustration. We can agree to disagree has been thrown out the window. If you're not for me, you're against me. If you don't agree with me, then you're wrong. And you're my enemy. We are no longer living in peace and harmony, but fear and division. On that lonely hill outside of Bethlehem, the angel stood that night and proclaimed peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And we have neither today. The spiritual forces of evil and wickedness in high places are delighted and rejoicing as our nation splinters and falls apart. We're racing toward Armageddon, church, at a record-breaking speed. Common decency and respect for one another is rapidly disappearing. It actually frightens me to think about the world that my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids are going to grow up in. You can shout and run when Pastor gets back. Not today.
This stuff is upsetting me.
There is so much noise and so little understanding. There's so little communication. There's so little patience. Church, we are a better people than this.
Now, what would Jesus say to us? Aaron, what would Jesus say to us who are followers of Him? What are we supposed to do during this stuff?
Those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Calvary's crucified Lamb, those of us who have had our sins forgiven and our lives transformed, those of us who have received that amazing grace and that unmerited favor, where do we stand?
What do you think Jesus would say to this deeply divided moment in our history? We know what He would say because we know what He said. Let me show you. It's the occasion of the Last Supper. It's the night before Jesus is to be betrayed, and He has gathered together this little band of Jewish men that have been with Him for the last 3 years. Spent all of their time with Him. They share a meal together that we call the Last Supper. He would wash their feet and teach them what it is to be. He wasn't ordaining that we have foot washing in church, although I grew up in a church that believed you had foot washing, and every time we had communion, we had foot washing. That will humble you, especially if you get some old dirty fella the first time around and the whole pan of water gets dirty, and you at the end of the bench. And it wasn't spiritual to change the water in between.
And then He would give them the elements of communion and teach us what it was to break bread and share in the communion service. And then He would spend the largest segment of His teaching ministry in John 13, 14, 15, and 16. And 17. He's pouring out His heart to these 12 men on the last night of His life.
5 full chapters, almost entirely written in red. Now I want you to watch what happens. Lisa, John chapter 17 and verse number 1, we read these words. First part.
These words spake Jesus. What words? The words that He spoke in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. He's giving them instruction. Telling them what's going to happen. What they're supposed to do.
Now watch this. And lifted up His eyes to heaven and said. So He's turned from teaching to praying. And this is what He prays. Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee.
Now, what He's talking about there is what lies ahead for Him personally. He's talking about the suffering. He's talking about the torture. He's talking about the physical agony. He's talking about the crucifixion. And He's not afraid. Don't ever think that He was afraid, because He had prepared for that moment. In fact, He said for this moment was the reason that He came. Now, look at what He says in verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep Thou Thine own name, those whom Thou hast given Me,
Now watch this. That they may be one as we are. Drop down to verse number 20, Lisa. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's talking about us. Are you getting that? He's talking about us. Talking about you, Steve. Talking about you, Brad. He's talking about me. He's talking about people in the 21st century facing a worldwide pandemic and civil unrest and racial division and a sinking economy. So this is amazing to me. Get your head wrapped around this. Jesus is sitting in the first century with 12 Jewish men, and he's praying, and as he prays, he sees all the way down through the centuries all the nations of the world, right down to July 26, 2020, to a little church called Trinity Pentecostal Church of God in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And what's he praying for us? That we may be as one as we are one. He's praying for unity. Next to Jesus' heart for you to be saved, the heart of Jesus beats for unity. He's praying for the Democrats. Without ceasing. He's praying for the Republicans and the independents. He's praying for red and yellow, black and white. All lives matter. And they are all precious in his sight. He's praying for the wealthy. And he's praying for the middle class. And he's praying for the poor class. He's praying for those that are single. And he's praying for those that are married. He's praying for the elite among us. And he's praying for the underprivileged. He's praying for the East Coast. And he's praying heavily for the West Coast. He's praying for the North and he's praying for the South. He's praying for the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostals and the Nazarenes and every other group that's out there. He's praying that above all things, no matter how rich we are or poor or educated or uneducated, no matter how you were raised or whatever your background is, no matter how different we see things, he's praying that we be as one. And if that's the heart of Jesus, Brother Ronnie, if that's his heart, and Jesus lives in us through the Holy Ghost, how much more should that be our heart as well? How much more should we be striving for harmony and unity? Not with the world, but with each other. In our Wednesday night classes, Chris has been teaching now for a couple of months, I guess, haven't you? On community. And he gives us the liberty to share our thoughts and our opinions with each other. And sometimes we are on opposite ends of the spectrum in there. It's amazing to me, Chris, how far out there some of these folks are. Some of us folks are. Let me rephrase that. But here's the amazing thing. Nobody has got mad and quit. I don't think. We have not thrown a book at each other.
Or got up and hit somebody that disagreed. And we do disagree on some stuff. And that's what makes us a strong community. Did you ever look at the word? I know you have. The last five letters of the word community is unity. There can be no community unless first you got some unity. And that's why Trinity Pentecostal Church of God is a strong community, is because we do have some unity here. In spite of the differences of interpretation or how we understand things differently, we're not going to fight about it. So why is Jesus saying that unity is that important? I mean, why is it important that we get along? Can we all just get along? Go down to verse 21. Chapter 17, verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. My goodness. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Our testimony, our conduct, our behavior, our response to what's going on at a time like this in our history, is either propelling the gospel forward or it's being a hindrance to the spread of the gospel. I mean, Jesus just boils it all down to this. It depends on how we treat people who are different than we are, that either leads to the spread of the gospel or becomes a roadblock to the gospel. And we've allowed things to divide us, even in church. Politics has divided us. Listen, we talk a lot about the Democrats, but there's some good Democrats out there. Good Democrats out there. They vote Republican, but they're good Democrats. Religion has divided us. We're right. If we didn't think we was right, we'd go somewhere else. But that doesn't make them wrong. Racism has divided us. The economy has divided us. You know, many of us have a rule. My dad had this rule, or we had this rule when we went to my dad's house. And we kind of kept that rule at my house. When we all get together as family, we don't talk religion and politics. Or somebody in the family is going to go home mad. You know, everybody's issuing mandates. We don't like them, but we do our best to follow them. But Jesus issues a mandate that is absolutely necessary that we follow if we're going to survive. It's in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. As I have loved you. Are you kidding me? You know, Lord, I can handle the loving one another business. I would have rather he just said, you know, it's okay. I just want you to like everybody, because some of them just going to be way beyond loving. But he didn't say that. I can love people, most of them. But then Jesus raises the bar
And he said, I want you to love them the same way I love you.
That's almost out of reach. It's almost out of reach. Because how does he love you? I mean, think about it. Think about how he's loved you. How many times has he forgiven you? How many times has he picked you up? How many times has he held you in the midst of a storm? How many times has he said, I don't condemn you? Do we love each other that much that we can look each other in the eyes and say that? I love you the same way Jesus loves me. Let me go back to chapter 17. And I'm going to close. And don't you dare tell Pastor how early you're getting out. He'll make you stay an extra hour. John chapter 17 and verse 23 says this, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. See, the reason all of this matters is because our unity is the proof that Jesus lives. It's proof of his life, his death, and his resurrection. After 190 days, we are still dealing with COVID-19, and we probably will until after the November elections. And Trump goes back in. Then it'll be something else we'll have to deal with. It upset me. I sat in the doctor's office this week. I'm going to have a knee replacement surgery. And I have to have a COVID-19 test. I said, man, that's a long way from my knee. That don't matter. And he said, I can't just go get one when I want to. He said, you're going to go get one on August the 8th at 11:30. Well, August the 8th is my 50th wedding anniversary, so ain't we going to have fun? We'd planned a weekend getaway. You know what we're doing on our anniversary? And he said, you miss it, you'll have to wait until we can schedule it again. And that will affect your surgery. I'm having surgery on the 11th of August. You know what he said? He said, if you test positive, so if I have to wear a mask around you for a while, don't think bad of me, please. He said, if you test positive, then we can't do the surgery. You'll have to wait 40 days before we can do it all. I have to be retested and go through it all again in order to have my surgery. I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of this. Our country's on edge and high alert over racism. And truthfully, we're exhausted from it. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, we read this. Now, this is not talking about the Antichrist. This is about his forerunners. Can't be the Antichrist here because they're still saints. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. Isn't that what's happening? Wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. You ever seen it where our laws change? You got to get up every morning to see what you can do or can't do because the law changed while you were sleeping. I'm just tired of it all, aren't you?
I'm tired of the news every day telling of new cases, hot spots, and deaths. I'm tired of wearing a mask and social distancing. I'm tired of being told where I can go and where I can't go. I'm tired of my family, my kids, and my grandkids. I'm tired of worrying about them every time they go out of my house because I don't know all those crazies out there. I'm tired of the riots and the looting and the burning and the violence. I'm tired of the overpaid, underworked, selfish, evil politicians telling me how to live my life. I'm tired of the yelling and the screaming and all of the noise. I'm tired of all the childish rants being posted on Facebook and the Twitter junk being done by childish behavior. I deleted mine, by the way. If you want to get me, you'll have to message me or call me or write me a letter. I just got so tired. I got so tired of seeing good people, people that I know are good people that I know love God, people that I know love other people, but they're getting caught up in this junk and they're saying things that really we shouldn't say, me included. I'm just tired. I'm tired and exhausted from all the posturing and the pouting and the propaganda. I'm just tired, Lord. I'm just tired of it. But as I close, I want to ask this of you. Can I make an appeal to those of us that are here at Trinity Pentecostal Church of God? To love each other like Jesus loved us. To act like He would act if He were, and He is here, but if He were literally, physically here. That we be bigger and better than even what the world is asking us to do. That we show Siloam Springs what unity and harmony looks like in the face of adversity. Now listen, you do not have to compromise and give up your convictions and your values to live in unity. You understand that? Sometimes we think that. Just because somebody else, you know, Virgil's from, and Cammy grew up in that. I mean, when we're talking holiness people, we're talking holiness people. I mean, you know, her folks, they still don't cut their hair. They don't wear short sleeves, the men either. They you can't wear open-toed shoes and things and those sort of things. We're talking about holiness people. Well, I don't agree with that. If you want to cut the end out of your shoes, that's fine with me. You can go barefoot for all I care. You know, if you want to cut your hair off, I don't care. If I had any, I'd cut it off. We can disagree on what I consider non-essentials. Now, if it's biblical stuff, if Jesus said it, there's no argument. But we can still understand it different. You see what I'm saying? But you don't have to give up what you believe to be in unity. Here's what we have to give up. Rudeness, rebellion, being obnoxious, being closed-minded, yelling and screaming at people who are different than we are. I was standing at the doctor's office, and you know sometimes people just, they don't know anybody else is standing in line behind them. You find the same thing at Walmart, you know, because somebody's ahead of you, and how's the kids doing? Well, yeah, let me show you the pictures. Yeah, how's the grandkids? Well, how's your mama? You know, and, you know, backed up plumb to the back of the store, but they got things going on. I went to Arvest Bank yesterday, and I got so upset at them, I just left.
I don't know how y'all figure who gets to go next. Because I pulled up in this line, there was one car. And this line had three or four, this line had three or four, this line had two or three, this line had all the way back across the street to Grand Savings. And I'm sitting there waiting my turn because there's only one ahead of me. And I'll be, if that whole line over there didn't go through before I ever got to my, before I ever got up there. Tom, I need to know how y'all operate. So what's the big deal? I wasn't doing nothing yesterday, but nothing. But why would I let that upset me? Because everything else in the world seems to be upsetting. And one thing just bleeds over to something else. Standing in the doctor's office, waiting to sign in. I can't hardly stand up. I got my cane in this hand. I got my chair in this hand. And Virgil's got a hold of me back here. And there I'll be. That lady stood right there. And she chit-chatted for, must have been 15 minutes. This changing, swapping recipes. I said, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something. Bless God. And about that time, that sweet little lady turned around. She said, I am so sorry. Man, I just melted. What if I'd have said something? Wasn't her fault. But this time that we're living in is grating on us. And Jesus said, you're going to have to do better than that, Millard. Because the world needs to know about me. Stand with me. Here's what I want to leave you with. Is how you're responding to all this mess spreading the gospel? Or is it hindering the gospel? And you know, and I've had to do some soul searching. There's been other things than what I just told you. You know, I've been really upset a time or two over some things. I've let some things and some people get up on my last nerve. And it's hard, Chris. Chris told us, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday night before, that there were several people that he dealt with that day that he was wanting to put them down. He had a bad day. And we all do. But let's not be rude to one another. Let's accept the fact that we're all different. But we can still work in unity. I want to sing that little chorus and then we're leaving. I'm tired. No, that's a chorus, Chris. We sing that here. I'm tired, Lord, of all this stuff. Hey, Cammie, you know what I'm talking about? Do we not sing a chorus around here that says, I'm tired, Lord? Would some of y'all help out our music minister? I'm tired of this. There you go. Cammie's not here and he's
send the rain.
Half here.
Send the rain, Lisa.
Send the rain! Well, I named it different.
I'm tired of just the same old thing of tradition. Wearing out your name. I'm tired of a man-made worship hour. I'm tired of a song without praise, where worshiping you seems out of place. I'm tired of religious formality. I'm tired. So send the rain. for revival, Lord. We're ready to walk through that door. We're ready, oh Lord, let it pour. We're ready, Lord, enough is enough. We're ready to drink from your cup. We're ready, oh Lord, fill us up. We're ready, souls in the rain, in the fire. Bye.